Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back on Empowered by the Spirit with a very special guest of Michael Donaldson. Michael was hired as Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's really great to have you here. And you just came on in July of 2015. And is this a newly created position?
Actually, it's not. I actually had the honor and blessing to open this office back in 2011. But I was only here for a little bit of a time when I was swept back to my parish in Rancho Cucamonga, where I became the pastoral coordinator there. I ran the parish as a lay administrator for 3 years. And after a three-year term under prayer and discernment, my wife and I decided, you know, maybe this is time for me to look back at seeing what else the Lord has available for me and for our family. And lo and behold, the office opened up around the same time. So I loved this office before. I loved the ministry, and I had a passion for working with families. So I applied, and lo and behold, God brought me back here.
Well, praise the Lord. We are so blessed to have you here, and the whole area of families and marriage. But the office does a variety of different things, so tell us what it does.
Originally, the office was the Family Life Office back in 2001. Unfortunately, under budget crunches, it had to be closed. But the previous work was just marriage prep, marriage enrichment, sometimes divorce outreach, and natural family planning. But under the office now, we look at families in all stages, and ministries to all families. So marriage prep, marriage enrichment, of course, are there, natural family planning, but we also work with bereavement ministries, grief support. Mental health is a big ministry that's fallen into our office. We also oversee hope and healing after our abortion, which is our Project Rachel hotline. And we also work with seniors, parenting, any kind of ministry, that pastoral care ministry that affects or does outreach to families.
I understand that you go beyond 24 hours a day, 7 days.
Pretty much.
You've just defined about 15 different jobs. Praise the Lord. That's absolutely fantastic. And we're here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Come down and see the beautiful grounds and all the facilities here with Michael Donaldson, who is Director of Pastoral Care for All Families in All Stages. And there's so many different things you just mentioned that you're part of. And how does the average parishioner in Southern California, where this is primarily being broadcast, how can they connect into your office?
Well, we definitely have a Facebook page and the normal Twitter account, but call me up. We're here to discuss resources and trainings, because that's the main purpose of our office, is to network individuals, parishes, to the resources and trainings that are available, so that we can be empowered as Catholic Christians to go out and walk with our brothers and sisters who need this pastoral care.
We're here again on Empowered by the Spirit, and our focus is on family life in all stages. But this particular show, we're really going to talk about the Catholic marriage of today. What is going on of today? And you've been married how many years?
Actually, we're going to be celebrating our anniversary on Monday for 13 years.
Fantastic. And I understand you have just a few children.
We have four children. We have Brian, who's 11, John Paul, 10, Claire, who's 8, and Nicholas will be turning 3 on January 3rd.
So what made you get involved in this whole area of serving families and marriages?
It's a passion in my life, just primarily because of my vocation and the joy I've received from being married to my spouse, Audrey, but also the hurts and pains that came in my own family upbringing. My parents are divorced. Their parents were divorced. All my aunts and uncles on both sides of the family have divorced, as well as all my siblings. And I've seen the pain and struggle in families. And I've also watched it in parish life with bereavement and grief support and the importance of the church being present to those who are grieving, being present to those who feel estranged from the church because of a divorce, couples who are struggling in their marriage that want to stay married and are desiring a support system. And the church is there. It's meant to be that support system, that guideline, that path to God. It's just a passion that comes forth from my heart, and I feel that because I've walked and experienced so much of it, I want to give back. I want to provide the healing that God is healing me and be that instrument for others.
We're here with Michael Donaldson on Empowered by the Spirit, Director of Pastoral Care for All for Families in All Stages, and we're talking about the Catholic marriage of today, and we'll get into the various struggles and what we can do and the resources that are available for us. And in terms of your own personal walk, you've got an interesting background in terms of coming to the Lord, and tell us about that.
Well, I was raised in a strong Catholic family, and my mom was very devout. Rosary, Mass was important. That was always important to us. Went to St. Norbert's School, went to Mater Dei. In the middle of my junior year, I attended the World Youth Day in Denver. Powerful experience with John Paul II, now St. John Paul II. And I came back on fire saying, you know what? I think I want to be a priest. And I contacted the rector of Mater Dei, who was now our Vicar General, Father Steve Salat. And Father Steve brought me up to St. John's Seminary College and said, let's look into this. And right after Mater Dei, I entered the seminary and was there for about 2.5 years discerning. And I came back, worked in the diocese in various positions, but the Lord was still calling me. Went to World Youth Day, another World Youth Day in Paris, and a monastic life was an option for me. And I said, you know what, let me take another chance and look at this. And I entered St. Andrew's Abbey in 1999. And I was there for almost 2 years, and wonderful experiences. They truly formed me who I was and who I come to be. And I left St. Andrew's and discovered my true vocation was marriage. Shortly after leaving the monastery, I was engaged, and we actually picked the following year to be, in 2002, to be the year that we got married, and we picked the Feast of St. John of the Cross, which was my namesake in the monastery.
That's fantastic. And, you know, how do you discern for our listening audience that may be discerning marriage or may be discerning some type of religious vocation? What would be your advice in terms of what you went through in terms of your discerning process?
Well, I had a spiritual director, and having someone who can help guide you through your thought processing and your prayer life is very important. Learning about communication, learning about healthy relationships, learning about yourself, and learning that others don't complete you. God is the only one that can complete you, but others help you get closer to God, and knowing that's the beauty behind relationships and how God has brought man and woman together. Discernment is not an easy process, and you're not always going to get that big boulder that hits you on the head and saying, this is the direction you need to go. But definitely through deep prayer and consolation, and sometimes there are confirmations. You know, I've had many experiences of little signs from my friend St. Therese, you know. Mainly, you know, having that spiritual director was major in my life. And any person, I would say, it'd be healthy to have a spiritual director to help you walk that path of spirituality.
This is Deacon Steve Grecker with Michael Donaldson, Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages from the Diocese of Orange here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. We welcome you as a listener to the show, and we thank you wherever you are. We're going to be talking about Catholic marriage today, and Michael is involved with family life, but involved with marriages and a variety of different areas. And, you know, today's marriage is always under siege, it seems like, from a variety of different sources. And your faith is so important to you, obviously. And how can we increase our faith life as it relates to having that as a foundation of a solid marriage, a solid family?
Well, I think prayer life needs to become a habit, and people just need to make it part of their daily routine. Even in our marriage, it's part of our life. It's what surrounds us. And with our children, we've incorporated into morning prayer on the way to school. We've incorporated to prayer around the dinner table. You know, the family is the domestic church, and our homes are chapels. And encouraging, you know, that in your own life, and looking at the sacredness around you, that God can't be compartmentalized. He's part of every aspect of our journey. Like I said, prayer has to become a habit, and making sure that it's not just a one-way dialogue, but it's actually a communication with the Lord, and there's a two-way street going on here. And God gave us two ears and one mouth, you know. So in prayer, we need to really take the time to listen
and to understand that how blessed are we to have the Lord who loves us unconditionally, the Lord who is the God is love, and the embodiment of that love is marriage and family.
It is.
And such a gift. And you mentioned prayer, and one of the things, I've been married 44 years, you know, to my lovely bride, Marianne, and actually be 44 years in about a week. But in any case, we don't leave each other without praying. I mean, this morning before I left here to record the show, you know, we prayed for each other. We prayed for our family. We prayed for the Lord to take over our life for that day, to consecrate the day for the Lord. You know, I mean, those things are just so important as it relates to laying a foundation for a solid marriage, a solid day, and increasing our faith life.
I would also say having before you constantly that the other person before you is made in the image and likeness of God. It's the Imago Dei, and that human dignity resides in your spouse, and knowing that that person's role is to get you to heaven, and your role is to get them to heaven, and understanding that you didn't marry for yourself, you married for the other.
We're here on Empowered by the Spirit talking about Catholic marriage, and we're going to be right back to get into the state of marriage today and the challenges and what we can do about it. God, I'm running for your heart. I'm running for your heart. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. And we're with Michael Donaldson, who is Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages. Michael, it's wonderful to have you here, and what an interesting background you have, and how blessed we are in the Diocese of Orange to have you in this very important position. And family is just under siege today, and I guess maybe it always has been, but you know, for example, as a deacon, of course, I can be blessed to administer the sacrament of marriage, and have done a lot of family preparation that we'll get into the next segment on. But in working with a lot of young adults, so many of them don't want to get married. They don't even see the need to get married. And so tell us what you see in today's world as to what's going on.
I think marriage sometimes is, for them, just an institution that was created by an organized religion in their mind. They don't see the historical background of where we have as far as our faith, and that this was God created. This was ordained by the Lord. And it was an institution made by a God, not by man. And so many have lost that understanding, that they just think we just created this for legal purposes or because this was going to look like it's going to be better for society, which we know it's better for society. The commitment level's different. We have so many people that are cohabitating. I don't know how many times I hear from priests saying, a majority of the young adults approaching them are already living together. My wife and I do marriage prep for our parish out in Rancho Cucamonga. And the couple we were meeting with had been dating for 11 years, and then they were told by their parents, oh, it's the 12th year, and you're going to get married in a year. Why don't you move in together and try it out? I think because divorce rate has been so high, in fact, in even Orange County, it's one of the highest in the nation, that people have a lot of hesitancy moving into a relationship, especially if they've seen divorce in their families. There's a lot of lack of trust. They don't want to be hurt. They don't want to see the pain going through that they've seen in their parents. So they look at marriage as a roulette table, and possibly this is not going to be for life. So if it's not for life, why bother even getting married?
And it's so critical for them to understand that marriage is a sacrament. And why is that important to them?
Because that brings God into the true picture. When we look at this as a sacrament, we realize that this is not about us, but it's about the Lord and the larger church. Marriage is a gift to the church. It's an establishment. Family is the basic cell of society, and that what holds that family together is a man and wife married together under the Lord's love and presence. So it's important for people to understand that, you know, as we enter into a marriage, it's a sacrament, it's a commitment, it's a covenant.
We're here on Empowered by the Spirit with Michael Donaldson, Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages, talking about Catholic marriage in today's world. As we look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, get out your Bibles, take a look at this verse and take a look at the very beginning. And this particular verse, actually starting in verse 22, the Lord God then built the rib they had taken from the man into a woman. When he brought her to the man, the man said, "This one at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one has been taken." That is why a man leaves his wife and mother, clings to his wife, and the two of them become one body. Clings to his wife and the two of them become one body. What does that mean, and why is that so important?
When you're married, you function as one union, one body. Even when you're working with your children, you know, they always suggest if you're fighting, don't fight in front of your children, because you want to be on the same team, the same level. I was just reviewing the Beloved series that came out by the Augustine Institute. Wonderful series, and they're stressing how important it is to be on the same team, and that often couples forget that. They get in fights and they realize they're like, why are we even fighting? We're on the same team. We're here to work together. God brought man and wife together to be united on the same front and to bring children into this world. It's important for couples to realize that they're the same team. They're united to the Lord.
And we have to understand that God has a plan, and that plan is perfect. Mm-hmm. And that plan is man and woman. And I know for many listeners out there, they struggle with the whole concept of, well, when two people of the same sex love each other, and why shouldn't they have the ability to get married?
Marriage has two functions, the unitive and the procreative. And that doesn't happen within a same-sex union. The procreative is left out of the picture. And we as the church truly believe you can't separate the two. And it doesn't necessarily mean every time a man and wife come together in sexual union that there has to be a baby, or that it has to be the same kind of passionate, unitive action. But marriage was meant to bring life into this world. It was a gift. It was an honor that God even allowed us to be part of this process of bringing life. What an honor, you know?
And that sexual union often has been described, and in fact, if you go back and you really analyze the scripture and the Greek and so forth, that it's really a divine union coming together, which is so powerful. You know, I'm going to look, and I'd ask everyone out there, if you're able to have a Bible near you or a smartphone, to take a look at Ephesians 5. Now, this has been very controversial over the years, but I'm going to start with verse 21, and that's, "Be subordinate to one another out of reverence for Christ." And people forget that verse, you know, because the next verse everyone all gets all excited about with the wives being subordinate to their husbands. But the reality is the entire scripture is framed by verse 21, mm-hmm. to be subordinate to one another. Mm-hmm. As Christ loves us, we love one another.
Mm-hmm. A marriage represents the image of God. It represents the love of Christ for the church. And that passion and that love that resides between Christ and the church is replicated within in marriage. And the love of a husband for his wife is supposed to be the mirror of Christ for the church. And what an honor to be able to be part of that.
And for you husbands out there, we talk about the husband, the man as being the head of the family. But the reality is, as the joke goes, the wife is the neck and turns the head any direction that she wants to. It says, husbands, in verse 25, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and handed himself over for her. Think about the relationship of Jesus with the church, and think about the sacrifice. Think about the Holy Mass. Think about how Jesus gave himself, his body, his blood for us in ultimate humility. Mm-hmm. The husbands out there and men out there, I want you to really pray about this and understand your role as it relates to loving your wife in the same way that Christ loves the church.
Sacrifice is not a popular word these days. To give, we live in a society where the individual has been lifted up. But when we can sacrifice ourselves and go beyond ourselves for the other, even more so. And, you know, the church sacrificed for God as well. And the wives are called to sacrifice for the husbands. But there's nothing more I see powerful when Christ sacrificed for us. So for us husbands to mirror that same sacrificial love to our spouse, to our wife, what a beauty.
It's just so important to understand that the whole concept of humility, of loving each other as Christ loves us, is really the essence of what this is all about. And as we look at verse 28, so husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You know, one of the greatest gifts that's been said that a man could give his children, or a wife could give her children, is loving their spouse. You know, because that gift is so powerful as an example.
You know, we do marriage prep a lot in our diocese, and I keep on saying to individuals, I said, but marriage enrichment is just as equal, because our married couples, when they love each other fully, they're already providing marriage prep for our children. At a stage where our children need to learn what a true marriage looks like and what true love looks like.
It's so often in our society, even among Catholics, that divorce is just a ready option. And what are statistics as it relates to Catholics' rate of divorce versus non-Catholic?
For those who are married in the church, for those who are rooted in faith, divorce rate is very low, much lower than those who are not married outside the church. But unfortunately, we have scary statistics that in Orange County, it's almost 71% in the divorce rate. And it's one of the highest in the nation. And for us, it's a red flag. We need to do something. We need to help our couples understand that this is not going to help our society if we keep on breaking these bonds.
You mentioned being married in the church, and marriage is a sacrament. And the Catholic Church wants us to be married within that church structure. I often, as a deacon, get asked to marry a couple on the beach or marry a couple in some resort location. I can't do that, you know, because the sacrament of marriage needs to be in that church. And tell us why that's so important.
The church represents, the building itself represents the community. And a sacrament is supposed to take place within the community, among the community, because it's not just for the individual, it's for the larger church, it's for building up the body of Christ. Therefore, the church has said, it is good, it is best that sacraments take place within the church building, because it is the community that needs to witness the sacrament so that they can be fed and also go forth and be witnesses.
Praise the Lord. We're here on Empowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Whatever you're doing and wherever you are, we're thankful that you're listening in. And come see us down here at Christ Cathedral, talking about the real critical nature of a Catholic marriage and what it really means. We certainly hope that you're enjoying this show. And we're going to ask that you come back and listen after the break about marriage preparation. Many of you perhaps are out there thinking about getting married, or what do I do, and so forth. So we'll be right back to talk about the state of marriage preparation and what do you need to do and why is it so important. We'll be right back. Hello, everyone. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit with Michael Donaldson, Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages. I also want to give a big thanks for those who are watching the show live here on Periscope. Join us on Twitter, Spirit Hearts One, for the future, and see these programs live here. So please follow us on Twitter, Spirit Hearts One. Well, I have a great passion for marriage preparation. I've just had a blast for many, many, many years with primarily young people, young adults who have come to us. And I always enjoy the whole concept of it, learning more about each other and how the Lord fits in. And the program we used is, I believe, one of the primary programs mm-hmm. that the diocese recommends, which is Marriage in the Lord. So I'll ask people every single time, I'll ask them, now, what's the most important thing about having a successful marriage? And this is Deacon Steve Greco here, and I'm Empowered by the Spirit again with Michael Donaldson. Michael's been married for 13 years. I've been married for 44 years. And so obviously a lot of issues, and they come up with listening, they come up with trust, they come up with fidelity, they come up with all these different things. And out of the 7 years that I did marriage preparation, I think, and there probably was about 300 people that went through it, I think that maybe three or four said, God. So I would hold up the book and say, what's the most important thing, you know, is to have Jesus at the center of the marriage. But it's like, they don't even think about that. And these are people who are getting married in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. You know, the critical nature about God being at the center of the marriage. And why is that so critical?
Because he's the one who instituted the sacrament of marriage. He's the glue. He's the glue to your marriage. He's the one, he's your rock, he's your foundation. He's the one that gets you out of the hard moments of time. He's the one that brings peace to your heart when you're fighting. I know the moment that we bring God into that fight or into that moment, it dissipates everything.
You know, I want to take a look, and again, Jesus is the Word made flesh. It's so critical that you get into Scripture. And I know for my marriage, my wife, Marianne, teaches Bible study. The Bible's never far from me as a foundation for my spirituality. So I'm going to ask everyone to take a look at Matthew 7. So open up your Bible or go to your smartphone. Take a look at Matthew 7:24. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. And everyone who listens to these words of mine, but does not act on them, will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and buffeted the house, and it collapsed and was completely ruined. For me, this verse verses are so critical as it relates to marriage. It's not if the rain will come. It's not if crises will come. It's not if challenges will come, but when. And the question is, what are you building your marriage on? Are you building it on this world, or are you building it on Jesus?
I've witnessed marriages that have crumbled during great hardship, especially when a child was sick. The couple, and I've seen couples that when the child was sick and possibly have passed away, because of their faith, they stayed strong. They realized that it's beyond this world. It's all about the Lord, and that the Lord has a plan. And what you're going through at this moment, the Lord's going to work through. You know, he came into this world in the most ugliest place, a stable, where it was smelly and dark and cold. But God was still present in that ugliness. So when you're struggling in your life, when your marriage is going through trials and tribulations, the Lord is still present in that ugly part of your life, and to cling to him. Hold on to that rock in that storm, and he will not fail you.
So tell me about what you go through for people, our listeners out there who might be considering getting married and really, you know, often are trying to figure out, I guess I have to go through marriage preparation in order to get married in the church, but they don't necessarily enter it willingly. And what are the things talked about, and why is it so important as it relates to their preparation?
In marriage prep, the primary thing is, of course, the Lord's going to be the center of your marriage. And that's why Marriage and the Lord has been an important program in our diocese, because it really, that's how it kicks off, is saying who the marriage is in the Lord. We talk about communication. We talk about finances. Family origin is a huge one. Understanding where your loved one has, or your spouse has come from, and understanding that there might be different traditions that you're going to have to embrace, or even around the holidays, trying to figure out schedules. My wife and I practically had to say, okay, every Thanksgiving, we're going to switch from family to family, just how to celebrate this, this holiday. We talk about raising children and what that means, and being open to life. Marriage prep involves talking about the hardships. Pornography is a major issue affecting our marriages now. Major issue. And it's not only men who are being affected by it, it's women. It creates a fantasy world where they don't realize their brain's being completely rewired. So that's an important topic that we know we have to bring up in marriage prep. Domestic violence has to be brought up. Possibly a man is marrying a woman who had an abortion, and they don't know about it, and that the pain and hurt that that woman is carrying. So we talk about issues that may affect them that were previously there before they even thought about getting married, so that they're prepared to embrace those trials that may rise up, those emotions, and kind of understand where those emotions and hurts are coming from. But communication, finances, you know, family origin, prayer, essential prayer, being rooted in prayer, and how important the Mass is to their family. Those are the primary areas that we focus in marriage prep.
We are empowered by the Spirit with Michael Donaldson, and we're talking about Catholic marriage today, and we're talking about marriage preparation and the value of it. And I have found it life-changing for many people. And as part of Marriage in the Lord, the actual book, there's a survey that you take that's one of my favorite parts. And what we do is we have each individual fill it out in two ways. First, about the various words in terms of how they would describe themselves. And there's probably, 100 and some words on the page. And then they would put down how they see their future spouse, their fiancé. And then we come back and talk about it, and we ask them how they see their spouse. And one example of what occurred was someone who was actually a police officer, and he was in highway patrol, and his fiance saw him as this super macho guy, and that's what she thought she was marrying, but he didn't see himself that way. And so the point is that what are you marrying? You're not marrying this image of something that isn't real. You're marrying a person who has a lot of feelings in a lot of different areas. And do you really understand them? Mm-hmm. Do you understand who they are as an individual, not who you'd like them to be?
It's important to know that you're not going into the marriage to change that person. I've witnessed people who think, well, he might be this way or she might be this way, but by the time I'm done with them,
exactly,
they're going to be different. And no, that's not the purpose of it. We can help them in a process. If we see that they need to go through some form of conversion, we can help them through that process. But that individual has to make that conversion on their own. We're not there to change the person. We're there to walk with that individual and help them become better and become better people. But we live in a society that there's constant need to manipulate or change the other individual for your own need and desire. Expectations are important. I think that's what you're talking about, is what are our expectations as we walk into this relationship? And it's important to put those on the table and say, you know, this is what I'm kind of expecting. This is what I'm expecting. Okay, what should our expectations look like? Is this respecting the other?
And that old story about marrying your father or marrying your mother, you know, is all too true.
It is.
You know, and there are certain things that, for example, my mother did, and I kind of assumed my wife would do the same thing until she told me otherwise. You know, I'm not your mother, you know, and so. But, you know, those things become really important. Now, the program, to use the name Focus, I have found to be really effective at times. And that's usually not, I guess, I don't know what the official diocesan stance is on Focus, and somewhat optional, I suppose. But your thoughts on that?
We've tried to make sure that every parish has the opportunity to use Focus.
And if you could define what that is, too.
Now, Focus is a premarital inventory. And there's also a program called PMI, which means premarital inventory, out there as well. And it's basically a series of questions that both take and answer, and it's regarding certain areas of their life, from sexuality to finances to communication to church faith-based information about their and their views on these areas in their life and what their expectations would be. And the inventory is there to help the individual who's helping them through the marriage preparation process understand if the couple's on the same page or not. And it's done with percentage-wise, and often if a couple is completely off, marriage counseling, pre-marriage counseling, is actually encouraged or required, so that couple can kind of get to the same page. There's been some couples that I know that have taken the Focus and saying, you know what, I don't know if we should get married. And, you know, we're going to say praise God for that, because it helps them do some inner reflection, some inner search, so that they really truly are prepped. And Focus is usually taken before they do their actual marriage prep classes. So it gives a basis before they even do the marriage prep classes to see where they stand.
This is Deacon Steve Greco here on Unpowered by the Spirit at beautiful Christ Cathedral, talking about Catholic marriage. We're going to be right back to talk about each of our own responsibilities to support marriage in today's world. Be right back. We're back again. This is Deacon Steve Greco, Empowered by the Spirit, with Michael Donaldson, Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages. And we've been talking about the state of marriage, the state of the Catholic marriage today, in today's world, a lot of the challenges associated with it, the scriptures, and the importance of marriage as a sacrament, and marriage preparation, and why it's so important and what it is. And let's talk about those that are considering marriage. What do they do, and how do they get signed up? And
well, we ask that they contact with their pastor or their priest at their parish. There's usually a six-month window most parishes have before the wedding date that they ask that the couple connect with their pastor or priest. They'll meet with their pastor or priest or their deacon. And some parishes, like we talked about earlier, was they'll do a Focus, which is a premarital inventory, and they'll go over areas in their life to understand if they're on the same page. But they'll sign up for a class. And our parishes know which classes are going on. We have them by deanery. Our diocese is divided into seven deaneries. Some deaneries have the regional, or they connect with another deanery. So like we have the classes Marriage and the Lord. They're at St. Thomas More. They're at St. John Neumann. They're at Our Lady Queen of Angels. They're at Holy Family. We have Marriage and the Lord being done at St. Philip Benizi. We have Marriage and the Lord being done at Pius V. So various all over the diocese. We also have a program called Unitas that that is being done at St. Simon and Jude by Deacon Cobbett. And we also have Engage Encounter, which is a national marriage preparation program in our diocese. And they do retreats once a month for about 30 couples. And they actually do that over at St. Jean de Lestinec School in Tustin. That is probably one of the most popular, because it's a weekend experience, and couples feel like, well, we can just get this done with, which, of course, is not the mentality we want to have for marriage prep. Our focus right now is to see, how are we doing marriage prep? Are we doing it well? And many of us are saying we need to do more. And that came out of the synod, the recent extraordinary and ordinary synod that Pope Francis gathered. There's talk of possibly a catechumenate form of marriage prep being formed, and looking at marriage prep not just at the moment that the couple wants marriage prep, but before they even decide to get married, understanding what a healthy relationship is, understanding how to communicate, and what the sacrament is all about.
And it's so critical, again, you know, you've mentioned about how long it takes to, for a priest, 6 to 8 years, their commitment to vacate, to a vocation. And this is a lifetime vocation to be married. And it's pretty amazing as it relates to almost the cavalier attitude that society has as it relates to it. And I know the Catholic Church wants to change that. And it's absolutely so critical that, that we support that and making sure that there is adequate time and preparation and even counseling, correct?
Definitely. The focus helps priests realize whether or not, or deacons realize whether or not the couple's going to need to do some pre-counseling before they get married, and understanding some, maybe some hurts and pains. You know, we were talking earlier about divorce, and we have couples coming in who have very broken families, and they may not have seen what a true marriage looks like. And they may have a lot of hesitation, trust issues that need to be resolved before they enter in. Sometimes one of the couples or one of the spouses or fiancés or partners may feel like they are dealing with depression or some kind of mental health issue. So it's important for them to understand what's going on before they get married so that they can enter this marriage in full commitment.
Now, some of the issues also involve cultural issues in this society, this diverse melting pot we have. Mm-hmm. We have various backgrounds as it relates to these various cultures. Mm-hmm. I know, for example, in our listening audience, we have many, many Spanish listeners in our Spanish Ethne network that people that are turning in. And I also know you're fluent in Spanish. And maybe you could give a word of hope and a little bit of advice to our Spanish listeners for a minute or two.
Sí, es muy importante para saber que el Señor Jesucristo es el centro del matrimonio y Él es el focus del matrimonio. Y a veces hay dificultades durante la relación entre el hombre y la mujer, y ellos tienen que rezar con a sí mismos, y ellos tienen que ir a Dios para descubrir y encontrar la ayuda que ellos necesitaron.
So again, I think I got parts of that, but it's pretty much that marriage is pretty important in marriage preparation and so forth. And again, it's really critical. Now, so many of our listeners are perhaps a little bit older with adult children, and they see the struggles of their children going through their own marriages. And how can we support our children, for example, or even grandchildren that are married? And what do we do in terms of being a conduit, an example, to really assist where they are?
Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying for them. The power of prayer is amazing. The power of the rosary is amazing. This being the feast day of Our Lady of Guadalupe, around this time we look at Mary in Advent, and she represents hope. And Our Lady definitely can be a strength and an asset, a true intercessor for us. So ask Our Lady to intercede for your children, but also be examples. You know, you expect your children to have a healthy relationship. Well, look at your own marriage and see that your marriage is mirroring that same image you want to see in your children. You know, it helps to connect them to resources out there. It helps them to know that you're there to support them, not to judge them, but to support them. Sometimes parents adult children can appear to be a little bit nagging, and they're not nagging. They're just concerned. And you know, I thank God for my mom, who sometimes comes in and says, gives me some advice. And just know that that's important, to be that wisdom, and to say, you know, this is how it worked for us. It may not be the same for you, but this is how it worked for us.
No one can ever overestimate the power of prayer, the critical nature of prayer. I know for myself, you mentioned the rosary, so critical. Pray a decade for each of your children each day. Pray for their future spouses. Pray for their current spouses. Pray that those that aren't married find a very holy man or woman to marry. And when they are married, don't give up on them. Keep praying, keep interceding, keep believing. But there are challenges, as we all know. There are circumstances in which marriages get in trouble. And what resources do we have for troubled marriages?
We have an excellent retreat experience called Retrovi. And Retrovi has been around for many years. They collaborate with Marriage Encounter. Marriage Encounter is another one. I would say Marriage Encounter is for those couples that just want to reconnect and rekindle the fire. Retrovi is for those couples who are really struggling. I've heard of divorced couples giving another chance, going on Retrovi and remarrying in the church. There have been many miracle experiences.
Praise the Lord.
No, it's amazing. And it's because they put God back into their marriage.
Amen.
And that's the key.
Amen. What would be some of the other things that you'd recommend as it relates to what we can do, perhaps in our parishes, to support marriage?
Providing marriage enrichment opportunities, you know, even if it's just a morning reflection, but making sure there's child care involved in that mm-hmm. so that couples don't feel like they have to find a babysitter. Make it as easy as possible. In our schools, you know, provide resources for our parents, something that's sent home to them to remind them of their role as parents and the importance of their marriage. Preach at the pulpit. Preach about the beauty of marriage. I think sometimes we talk about the hardships enough, but we need to preach about the goodness and maybe even have witness talks from time to time of couples who may have had a hardship, may have had some crosses to bear, but have seen the resurrection in their marriage.
We're so fortunate to have had here Michael Donaldson, Director of Pastoral Care for Families in All Stages for the Diocese of Orange. Thank you for being on the show, Michael.
Thank you for having me today.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for marriage, for the gift of marriage, the sacrament of marriage. We ask blessings upon all men and women, spouses, marriages, all those that are considering marriage, that are engaged. We ask for the Holy Spirit to unite all marriages together where two are gathered together, that they become one. We ask, Lord God, for blessings and healing of all those marriages that are in trouble. We ask, Lord God, and praise you for your blessing of everyone listening and all of their loved ones and all of the marriages through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Sacred Heart of Jesus. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For more information about Spirit-Filled Hearts, visit our website, spiritfilledhearts.org. That's spiritfilledhearts.org. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We hope you'll tell a friend about our program and ask them to join us next week at this same time. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.